Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. In verse 14, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Hear the word of God. The words of God in the mouth of Jeremiah are like fire. And that's going to consume the wood. Turn with me to the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. Uses that, a similar analogy. In verse 9. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. This is what Jeremiah said. I'm not going to do it. I'm done. They're not listening to me. I told you they were going to not listen to me. I told you they're going to rebel against me. I'm not going to speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He couldn't help himself. He had to, because the word of God was a burning in him. The word that God had given him was a burning in him, and he had to speak it. That's the way it is with us preachers, isn't it, Brother France? When God gives us a message, we got to preach it. I think I only had one pastor that was vocal about it. But every Monday, he quit. Every Monday, he was going to quit preaching. He was going to quit pastoring. And needless to say, that's when things weren't going so well at the church. There was some folks in the church that were causing some problems and so forth. But he couldn't quit until many, at least two churches later, and bad experiences in those churches. And his wife finally told him, no more. I'm done. No more. So he quit pastoring. Became chaplain at the racetrack there in Kentucky. So, and now he has Parkinson's. And not doing very well. But let that be as it may, I'm not saying that's the judgment of God on him for it, but it could be. But only he can answer that. I can't answer that. And I do believe that when God punishes us, I believe he lets us know. You've done this. You would not hearken. You would not listen. And this is why this has befallen you. Sometimes the things that we go through are just trial, just purifying, just getting out the dross. But many times it's his chastening of us as well. And I've known, when the Lord's chastened me, I've known exactly what it was for. And if you think about it, and when you knew the Lord was chastening you, you knew what it was for. You didn't sat around saying, well, I don't know why he's allowed this into my life. You knew why He was chastening you. Turn with me to the 23rd chapter. That's free tonight. That was off the subject. We're talking about the Word of God being a burning, and there ought to be that burning in our hearts and our souls for the Word of God. And then there ought to be, because we have the Word of God, there ought to be a burning to speak it to other folks. The gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak the warnings of God to them. Chapter 23 of Jeremiah, verse 29, he says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord?" Like as a burning into the heart and conscience of men? Yes, the Word of God is. You think about it. It's a burning in our heart, but not only is it a burning in our heart, it's a burning in our conscience too, is it not? When we know the Word of God and then we do something that we hadn't ought to do, what gets pricked? Our conscience, doesn't it? So, fire is symbolic of the burning of the Word of God into our hearts and our conscience. And the coming of the Lord is how? The coming of the Lord is to be quick and powerful, like lightning. I can remember, even as a young child, because I would hear adults talk about individuals being struck by lightning and killed. Sometimes being set too close to a window. I remember hearing an instance as a child of a person close to a window, and lightning came through the window and killed an individual. So there's been that fear, been that respect for lightning. And then I moved to Florida, lightning capital of the United States. You know? And every year, people down here are struck by lightning. And you'd think that they would realize and stand in awe and reverence of the power of that bolt of lightning. I think of three people. The storm came quickly. Lifeguard was getting people out of the water, but three people didn't get out of the water up here by Daytona Beach this summer. And they didn't take a direct hit. The lightning just, bolt of lightning hit the water and stunned all three of them and killed this one woman husband. She was from South Carolina or Georgia. And it killed her husband. Not immediately, but he died within a couple days in the hospital room. And she's going back to her home state without a husband. But it stunned all three of them. And the wife of the man was in the hospital for overnight. And this other woman, the one related at all, she was treated and released. But I talk about that because lightning is a powerful force. It can be a destructive force. It is a useful force coming from the farmlands of Ohio. I know the benefit of lightning. You know that the earth needs lightning to charge it, but the earth also needs, the soil needs lightning to disperse the nitrogen and the elements that are in the soil so that make it useful for the crops to utilize. So lightning has its purpose. And we need lightning. But it's powerful and it can be destructive if it strikes you. But the coming of the Lord is going to be quick, and it's going to be powerful, and it's going to be like lightning. Turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. See, just like that lightning, and just like that lightning coming out of the east. Yeah, behind me. East and shining to the west, so is the coming of the Son of Man going to be. And just that quick. You think about how quick that bolt of lightning is. I'm sometimes can be driving down the road and you can see a bolt of lightning out front of you and you just blink your eyes and it's gone. That quick. And Scripture tells us, other Scripture tells us that His coming is quicker than the blink of an eye. It's like the twinkling of an eye. See, a twinkle in the eye, I hear that it's in my crawl because the Scripture doesn't say the blink of an eye. And I hear preachers preach the blink of an eye. The Scripture says the twinkle of an eye. And a twinkle is quicker than a blink. You all know what I'm saying? You see people with their eyes seem to twinkle? And that twinkle is much quicker than a blink. You see, and that's the coming of the Son of Man. Luke, book of Luke in chapter 17, says just about the same thing. Luke 17 and verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. In the coming of the Son of Man, it's going to be just like that. It's going to be quick, and it's going to be shining. It's going to be shining light. For who? For you and I, we which are alive, for the dead, which are those who are asleep in Christ who have gone on before, it's going to be a shining bright day and quick. His word is, considering the word of God being like fire and burning and being like the coming of the Lord, quick and powerful. His word is quick. And His word is penetrating. But His word is enlightening. And His word is effective. It accomplishes the purpose for which He sent it. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll begin reading with verse 11. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, the rest that He's been talking about in the preceding chapter and in chapter 3, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, that is, it is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Because we ought to take heed that we are living a life that manifests that we have a rest awaiting for us, and we ought to walk enjoying that rest now as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not walking in unbelief as did Moses and Aaron. In their disobedience, they displayed a heart of unbelief and disobeying God. When we disobey God, going back to our messages in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, when we disobey God, we're putting forth a heart of unbelief. We're not truly trusting the Lord, and we have a rest that's waiting for us, but the life which we live here is not necessarily one of rest if we're walking in disobedience to the Lord. And I think of the years of my rebellion as a child of God, and they were not restful years. I had a rest awaiting me, but the years that I spent in rebellion and in unbelief were not restful years for me. Now, because the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Word of God has done that in us. And therefore we ought to not display a heart of unbelief. Continue reading. And we're going to go right down to the providence of God. Here, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Everyone, but especially to his people, he is aware of our need before we are aware of our need. We're an open book to him. And he knows our need before we do. 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. See the provision? The great high priest, the Word of God, being alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of spirit and marrow. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us not walk in disobedience and therefore walk in unbelief. Let us hold fast. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is full of mercy, he's full of grace, and he provides for us just what we need. Don't you love the Word of God? Doesn't seeing more of the Word of God create in you a hunger and a thirsting, a burning for the Word of God? His word is quick, it's alive, it is penetrating, it's enlightening, and it's effective. When in my unbelief, when in my disobedience, when he sent his word to me in exhortation, it was effective. It enlightened me. I knew my sin, and I said, Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me of my sins. It affected that which he sent it for in me. Turn with me to now the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 37. In verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He couldn't do anything but. You say, after a vision like he saw of God in chapter 1, could he do anything but? So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. You see, the word was alive. It was powerful, it was enlightening, it was effective. It accomplished the purpose whereunto God sent it. Now turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 19. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And prevailed. Where the word of God grows mightily, it prevails. You see, it is the governing force. It is effectual. And accomplishes his purpose. The fourth thing about this cherubim will be that it sped back and forth like flashes of lightning, which we have in verse 14. But we don't have time to get in this tonight, so we'll stop right here and take up with that next week, Lord willing. All right, shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Jesse, would you dismiss us, please?